I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen on, you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, often heard on BartCop.com. Today's show is going to be more wacky than usual. We just got pieces of this and that. We put them all together and threw them in a pile, and we put little music mortars between the two. Let's hope it makes some sense. Start off with a shot of Chinecco for good luck. Oh, and it goes so good with the corn. The corn is in it. It's just so tasty. Went to the Bixby Corn Festival today. I'll have to tell you about that probably in print. Okay, let's get to the big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
A clip. It opens June 25th, and my thinking is it might be a factor in the election. What do you think about that? Is it going to change votes or cause people to vote who might not have?
It's hard to tell sitting here. I do know from the just the screenings we've had. We've had these test screenings out in the Midwest, and we ask people where they stand, Democrat, yeah. Republican, undecided, and if they say that they're on the fence right now on this election. When they walked out of the theater, there wasn't a single person on the fence. They'd fallen off the fence somewhere around the third reel. So,
but again, the question that haunts me is, can we absolutely believe you, or we get somebody in here and say, yes, that's true, but it's not what it seems. Yes, that's true, but it's not what it seems.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
True, it's not what it seems. Yeah. Is that possible?
Yeah, yeah. I am ready. I'm ready to debate any Republican, any right winger, any time of the day on this, and I'll take them on.
Let's look at a clip. Do you know what it's going to be here, Michael?
I think this is where George Bush likes to go on vacation a lot.
Okay. this is early on in the movie.
Early on in his first 8 months.
Fahrenheit, yeah. 9/11.
With everything going wrong, he did what any of us would do. He went on vacation.
We must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
Isn't that strange?
I got a couple of observations. Did you notice how stunned the crowd was? It is just absolutely amazing that the President of the United States, elected or not, would look the camera in the eye and say, I call on all nations to help destroy these terrorists and their threats and all that. But that's not what's on his mind. He wants to play golf. As soon as he gets done with this life and death, extremely important message, he says, now, basically, screw that. Check out how good I can hit a golf ball. We've got a 9-year-old running the world, and it's very dangerous and it's very uncomfortable to have a 9-year-old monkey in office who has no clue at all. He just wants to play a little more golf. And this whole terrorism business is just in his way. It's like, I got to drop off the laundry before I go to the strip club. It's just a thing that's bothering him, keeping him from doing what he wants to do. The little shit. Second thing is, isn't it amazing that it takes David Letterman to ask the intelligent question? Go figure. But he looks at Michael Moore and says, now, how much of this are you telling us is true? Is this your spin? Are these the facts? Can we trust you? Tell us why we can trust. Matter of fact, he asked him that 3 times. I think Michael perhaps slightly mishandled that. The first time he asked him, he said, could a person more intelligent than me make a case for blah, 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 and then went on, and when he turned the mic for the answer, Michael says, gee, Dave, nobody's more intelligent than you. And, you know, I got a little bit of a laugh, but he avoided the question. So Dave, he kind of went around and came around again, and Dave said, well, now can we trust you on this? And he kind of sort of gave an answer. So Dave had to ask the third time, and then Michael answered it correctly. I'll debate anyone anytime. But from the reviews I'm seeing, sure, all the right-wingers are saying, oh, it's all lies. But, of course, they fail to mention any specifics. It's real easy to say it's all lies and never mention one. I hate to say something good about USA Today, but their entertainment section seems to be, if anything, left-leaning. They don't pile on unnecessary attacks on anything liberal like the other sections of the paper and all other papers. But when they reviewed the movie, they said it appears that his major points in the movie are all sourced. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, I mean, you can't believe any of them, but this isn't something that Michael made up out of thin air. If the Washington Times reports that Halliburton got a fat contract without a bid, well, we kind of have to assume that's a little bit true. But kudos to Dave. Now here, Dave has extended the invitation to Clinton to come on, and now he gets Michael Moore up there and says, how much of this is true? Look me in the eye and tell me this is true and you're not lying, and Michael basically did that, so... And isn't it funny, between David Letterman and Jon Stewart and people like old Bart, you know, we're trying to get the truth out. The bastards in the press, they refuse to do their job. They won't ask a question like that. They leave it to Jon Stewart and Dave, and I don't mean to put myself in that category, but I've got no business asking the tough questions. I'd rather have a good time, but nobody else will ask the important questions, so I'm doing what I can like Dave and Jon are. You know, I always hate it when someone says, hey, Bart, check out this guitar player. He sounds like Hendrix. Because they never do. But I heard a guitar player sound like Hendrix. I was watching Dave the other night, and they had on Los Lobos. And if you would have put the names of 10 groups on a list and asked me to pick out which one was most likely to sound like Hendrix, I probably would have picked Los Lobos last. Can you put up with a minute worth of Hendrix-like guitar sounds?
Probably all heard about the polarizing new movie by Michael Moore. It is called Fahrenheit 911.
No, it's called Fahrenheit 911. 911 is who you call when you cut your finger off. 9/11 is America's worst day, thanks to George Bush. There's a difference, you idiot. Learn your damn job.
And depending whom you talk to, it is either a devastating attack on the president or a completely unfair polemic and attack on him.
Damn, she sounds as fair and balanced as Fox News. This movie generates emotions that run the entire gamut, from an unfair attack on Bush to a polemic unfair attack on Bush. It just depends where you are politically. It's either totally unfair or absolutely totally unfair to the great president that God personally gave us.
Everyone who has seen it, however, says that at the center of it is a moment on September 11th when President Bush was told America is under attack as the second plane hit the World Trade Center. And what happened next as he stayed and read to the children, with the children, was 7 minutes in the life of a president, 7 minutes in the history of the nation, and 7 minutes a lot of people are using as a kind of Rorschach test. George Stephanopoulos is here. He's seen the movie and, of course, watched the scenes of that moment. But let's begin with ABC's Jake Tapper.
Well, it goes without saying, if you want a really fair and accurate picture of Bush on that morning, you would talk to a man named Judas Maximus.
It was just a few minutes, but Democrats hope seeing them will make voters uncomfortable, not just with the scene, but with the president himself. It's the morning of September 11th. President Bush is sitting with grade schoolers at a classroom in Sarasota, Florida. He already knows one plane has hit a World Trade Center tower. At 9:07, his chief of staff tells him a second plane hit the second tower. America is under attack. The president does not react immediately. He remains seated, continuing to read the children's book, My Pet Goat, along with the class. In New York City, chaos. The towers are engulfed in flames. Back in Sarasota, the president remains in the classroom. In all, 7 minutes elapse from the moment the second plane crashes until the president excuses himself.
President, are you aware of the reports of the plane crash in New York? Is there anything to talk about later?
Thank you. A few days ago, the 9/11 Commission gave us the president's explanation for the 7-minute wait.
The president felt he should project strength and calm until he could better understand what was happening.
But in his new movie, filmmaker Michael Moore shows many of these crucial minutes, which he says has the opposite effect.
Yeah, this does not look like a man who is trying to project calm and strength. He looks frightened and lost. And you almost feel sorry for him.
White House Chief of Staff Andrew Carr disputes this view.
I think there was a moment of shock, and he did stare off, maybe for just a second.
For maybe just a second, and they let him get away with that? I think there's a difference between maybe for a second and 7 long minutes, reading the damn goat story. And something else, they're all going to raise excuses here. The idea that Bush shouldn't be expected to thank himself. He's going to sit there like a turd until somebody with a brain tells him what to do, because he's George Bush. He's like a 4-year-old child. George, sit in the red chair. No, George, the red chair. Yes, now you sit there, George, until I tell you what to do next. And so here's the monkey sitting there. He knows 2 planes have hit the World Trade Centers. He knows America's under attack. But he's back to the goat story and his crap about he didn't want to panic the children. Hey, I'm sorry, but screw those children. For all George Bush knew, there was 30 more planes to come. Screw those kids. Screw the damn goat. He should have gotten to work. He should have used his damn head, but he doesn't have a head. He doesn't have a brain. He's a monkey, and that's why he's unqualified to be the president.
FDR, JFK, past presidents had time to absorb bad news before projecting strength to the country. But clearly the new media age changes things.
In these days when presidents are almost on all the time, they have to think a lot more about how they look at the moment that they get news like this.
Republicans argue President Bush's leadership on 9/11 is one of the best reasons to vote for him. But Democrats hope voters see these 7 minutes and question that. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Washington.
All right, Jake, thanks. What about the face of a president? George Stephanopoulos is here. Is this fair? What can we read into this president's face, and what does it mean?
I don't think it is fair, and it's not meant to be. Michael Moore is avowedly anti-Bush, wants to defeat him. And when you look at it, I don't completely agree with Moore's interpretation. You can have a lot of interpretations about what the president is doing in those 7 minutes as you look. He's probably thinking about, what should I say? What should I do? He is in front of a classroom full of kids. You don't want to panic at that moment. Also,
but people have said 7 minutes is a long time.
It's an awful long time. And one of the things, and we were talking about this earlier, you have to wonder why Andrew Card didn't pull him out at that moment. If he comes in and says America's under attack, you've got to come back and do something about this. Now, all the reports are that after that, the president did call the FBI director, call the governor of New York, call the vice president.
Listen to the two of them. You can't blame George Bush. Andrew Carr didn't tell him what to do. How are you going to blame Bush when the other people didn't think? It's too much to ask the president to think. The only thing the puppet can do is what the puppeteers tell him to do. So you can't blame the puppet, is what they're saying. And the idea that George Bush was thinking. No, he wasn't thinking. If he was thinking, he should have been thinking in a speeding limousine, getting back to his damn plane or getting his joint chiefs on the phone or something. You don't sit there and think while the 30 kids are screaming about the stupid goat. George Stephanopoulos, you are such a whore, and we expect Diane Sawyer and ABC News to be a whore. They're doing all they can. Michael Moore's showing you the facts. He's showing the man sitting there playing with himself for 7 minutes while planes are striking America. And they're all making excuses. We should excuse Bush's behavior because, and then the media fills in the reason. Is anyone else tired of the media covering for the unelected monkey?
So he took the proper actions, but those 7 minutes are painful to watch.
You have been there. You have given a president explosive news.
Not on live television.
But not on live television.
That's the difference.
And what reaction did you see? Similar reactions?
Very similar.
I don't believe that for a second, and I'll bet you don't either. I'll bet if you're a Republican, you don't believe that either. When they came in and told Clinton that we'd lost 18 in Mogadishu, was he personally scared for his own safety? I don't think so. When they told Clinton that that Republican blew up Oklahoma City, was he personally scared? Did he think he was under attack? No, he didn't think that. George Stephanopoulos is such a whore. He was once Clinton's friend. turn into Judas, write a book about what a bad man Clinton was while he was still in office. Little son of a bitch.
Well, I went in and told President Clinton about the time that our soldiers were attacked in Somalia. He was very angry, had a very emotional reaction. I went in and told him about the attacks in Oklahoma City. Again, shocked and angered, but this was behind closed doors.
Hey, Judas, how many lies are you going to tell in this short segment? What we saw in Bush wasn't shock and anger. He was dumbfounded. He was scared and he was shocked and he was, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where's Daddy? That's what's going through his damn head. What would Daddy do? Can someone get Daddy on? Well, he didn't even think to call his dad. He's sitting there doing the damn goat story, staring off into space. That's not shock and anger. That's scared.
Not in front of the entire nation. And the 9/11 attacks were unprecedented in two ways. We'd never seen an attack like this before, and we never saw a president have to react in real time.
Boy, it must be nice to have both houses of Congress, a Supreme Court in your pocket. Talk radio loves you to death. The cable TV Nazis just love you to death, and the major networks will excuse anything you do. No matter what you do, the networks get together and say, how are we going to spin this to make our boy look good? And then they all get together and they say, oh, anyone that attacks Bush is wrong and bad. And then they get former Clinton staffers up there to say, oh, Bush is a good man. No one's ever had to do the job this war president has done. Oh, Clinton and the others, sure, they got some bad news, but they were able to hide their scared bunny looks behind closed doors. Bullshit. You know, it's got to be pissing Clinton off to look at this and say, geez, if I had one-tenth of this, if I had the entire media standing behind me, excusing and spinning everything I did, every time I made a major gaffe, the networks just got together and explained it to America. It wasn't a gaffe at all. It was a stroke of genius, and here's why. Oh, Clinton's got to be real pissed off to see the American media fawning over this never-elected monkey.
So you're saying that Andrew Card should have said, Mr. President, step away with
we
me.
We need you to come back right now. And then he could have done all of the things.
Without alarming the children.
Exactly. He could have done it in a calm way. But again, it's pretty easy to second guess 2.5 years later.
They say the night Lincoln was shot, his bodyguards were drunk and asleep. So if I criticize that behavior today, is Judas Maximus going to say, oh, sure, Bart, it's real easy to second guess 140 years after the fact? Well, no, you're not supposed to be drunk and asleep when you're guarding the president. And when America's under attack, you're not supposed to play the goat story. God, would you quit excusing the man? Oh, he's never had anything like this happen to him before, and Andrew Card wasn't thinking, so why do you blame Bush?
Well, again, it's become this litmus test for a lot of people about how you feel about President Bush. And for one of the first times, we have seen on camera the minute that changed the world. Thanks, George, for being with us.
And before we close this segment out, remember how they opened it.
It is either a devastating attack on the president or a completely unfair polemic and attack on him.
Can you believe this Diane Sawyer whore? Michael Moore's film is either an unfair attack against the president or a very unfair attack against the president. That's the American media covering for Bush. Any statement against Bush is either an unfair attack or a very unfair attack. Welcome to Bush's America with 3 K's.
Clinton's memoir won't sell as fast as, say, the latest Harry Potter, but everybody wants to know what's in it. The president's path cut a swath through New York today, and our Mark Steinis is on it.
It looked like a presidential campaign as faithful fans cheered and Clinton pressed the flash this afternoon at a book signing in Manhattan.
You want me to hold this up, sir? All
right. Last night in Harlem, he autographed books for about 4 hours.
It's great. You know, people are saying different things. Some of them are parts of the book. Some of them talked about things that happened when I was president. It meant a lot to me.
Some estimates put Clinton's first day sales at about 500,000 copies, a one-day record for nonfiction. That puts him on track to pay back his reported $10 million advance fairly quickly. Then on to the morning news shows where it was all Monica all the time.
What the hell were you thinking?
Would you be right? First of all, most personal encounters are not entirely rational.
On ABC's Good Morning America, Charles Gibson was blunt. And with Katie Couric on NBC's Today Show, Clinton apologized for sending his wife to defend him.
Yeah, I was ashamed because she didn't know the facts.
The former chief executive saves his harshest words for prosecutor Kenneth Starr in an interview for the BBC.
Let me remind you, in violation of the Justice Department guidelines, he compelled Monica Lewinsky's mother to testify.
At one point, Clinton clearly heard enough questions about Monica and heatedly asks why the interviewer isn't focusing on Starr's investigation.
They indicted all these little people from Arkansas. What did you care about them? They're not famous. Who cares if their wives are trampled? Who cares if their children are humiliated? Who cares if Starr sends FBI agents to their school and rip them out of their school to humiliate them, try to force their parents to lie about me?
Clinton's tour for My Life will reportedly last through July. And at last night's American Women in Radio and Television Gala, journalists were eager for their chance to interview him.
I don't think anybody was expecting him to be as candid as he is.
I'm glad that he had some explanation about Monica. I'm glad that he somewhat addressed that.
You know, I get struck a lot, but I was struck Tuesday. Bill's book came out Tuesday. Well, it came out midnight Monday. And by noon Tuesday, every Nazi bastard on cable and the networks were screaming about how terribly boring and awful this book was. Please don't buy this book. There's nothing in this book. Please don't buy it. There's no reason to buy it. Just stay away. It's a boring book. It doesn't say a thing. Of course, you know, if Clinton had said something, oh, he's willing to trot out every seamy little detail just for the buck. Oh, that's how Democrats are. But since he didn't give out every seamy detail, oh, it's so boring. We've heard it all before. Why would you want to buy this book? Yuck. But the point is, how many of those bastards read the 900 pages between midnight and noon? I venture to say not a damn one. Can you read 900 pages in 12 hours? I guess there are some people who can. I, for one, can't. It better have a lot of pictures in it if I'm going to go through 900 pages in 12 hours. But it just shows to Goya, they just, the echo machine again and again. They will line up. You know another thing, you can't get anywhere in life as a book reviewer for a newspaper if you say, oh, this is a good book. You ought to pick this book up and read it because it is a nice read. It's fun. It's informative. It moves at a brisk pace. You're going to like this. Buy this book. No, you can't make nobody except the book jacket. And duh, it was printed months ago. Nobody is going to quote you if you say the book is good. If you say, oh, it's mind-numbingly, horribly dull and boring. Well, yeah, now everybody, tune in at 6, and we'll tell you what the New York Times said about it. Tune in at 7, and we'll tell you what the Fox News said about it. And tune in at 8, we'll tell you what Newsweek and Time said about it. And they just go on and on and on and on. The only way you're going to get your name on the radio or on TV is if you write a nasty-ass review of this book. God knows I haven't read the book. Maybe it is boring, but for them to go out of their way, it is so mind-crushingly boring. Oh, you might just die if you read this book. Please don't give Bill Clinton any money. Please, because he's a bad man. He had sex and 800 men. No, I'm sorry. That was Bush that killed the 800 men. It's the same old thing. The Republicans own the airwaves, and they're going to do everything they can to put the sabotage on this book. But the public seems to be looking past that. They're lining up in droves to see old Bill. He's our Elvis.
What the hell is a part cop? If you don't know, you're not listening.